An audio excerpt from The Curse of the Neverland by Lindy MacLean, read by the author. Chapter 7. Small Comforts. Piper woke to sunshine, the dusty-looking orb already high in the sky. She rubbed her swollen eyes and tried to orient herself. "Easy, don't move too fast, drink this first." Bell handed her a toadstool's cap filled with clear liquid. Propping herself up on one elbow, she accepted the offering and sipped. It tasted sweet. "What is this? Where would anything sweet come from in this horrid place?" The fairy looked miffed. "It's not horrid. It's just dying." Pip glared at the pint-sized great-grandmother with wings. No, she didn't look anything like a grandmother. Too fancy. She looked worldly and, well, like an aging Tinkerbell. "You know, you're the last person I want to see today." "I'm not a person. I'm a fairy." "Why do you call yourself Belle, anyway? Like ding-dong crazy?" "No, Belle with an E, like Belle of the Ball. It's French for beautiful." Belle fluttered up to a perch on a branch at Pip's eye level and batted her eyelashes. "Branch?" Pip took note of where she was for the first time. Shouldn't she be in a tangle of thorny brambles? Instead, she lay in a hammock lined with birch bark. Delicate strands of spider web stretched from both ends of the hammock to the large tree branch above her. About 10 feet of space stretched between her and the ground. Recognition sparked. This was Peter's Nevertree. The tree had been grand in its day. Limbs gnarled, arms spread wide, it was a perfect climbing tree. But it sported not a single leaf or acorn. It looked dead or fast asleep. "How did I get here? Who made the hammock?" Pip gulped the rest of the liquid from her toadstool cup and sat up. "And what is this stuff? It's sweet, and I'm already full." "Slow down. One question at a time." Belle reached for Pip's cup and inverted it on her branch, settling herself beside it on the rough bark as if it were the world's most luxurious chair. "My friends, the spiders, helped me make your hammock. They spun the web, and I collect the bark," she pointed. Pip followed her gesture to the scattered fallen trees below. Sure enough, there was plenty of bark to collect without stripping it from those still standing. She patted the tree that now served as her shelter. "It reminds me of my bedroom at home." The mural her father had painted on one wall shone in her mind's eye. Sadness squeezed her throat. Belle looked uncomfortable. "In answer to your other questions, that was spring water with honey in it. Sinkaraz doesn't like bees, and I brought you here." She stared at the hammock as if unwilling to meet Piper's eyes. "I flew to Kid's Cove. When I didn't find you, and Captain Littlejack and his crew weren't aboard the Jolly Roger, I had a terrible feeling where you might be. Unfortunately, I was right." Belle brushed her dress off briskly, as if she could brush off the horror of what Piper had seen with the same ease. Pip stared at Belle. She felt numb. When the fairy met her eyes, Pip read aloof defensiveness on her face. So the pixie felt responsible somehow. Pip let the ragged dread inside breathe just a tiny bit. "That's what happened to them, isn't it? My parents. Captain Littlejack took them to Sinkaraz." The hard lines of Belle's expression melted, and her eyes filled with fairy tears. "I'm so sorry." She sat blinking rapidly, and then a queer laugh bubbled up. "I can't waste these." She flew to Piper's ankles. "Roll up your pants. Fairy tears heal wounds on contact." She tended Pip's scrapes and scratches, sprinkling bits of tears here and there. Pip inspected Belle's work. "Wow, they're all gone." She stared at Belle, an unspoken question in her eyes. "What?" "You don't have other magical abilities, do you?" "Like what? I can do all kinds of things." Belle seemed to swell slightly. "I mean, you can't bring people back to life, can you?" Pip saw Belle's bleak look and hurried on. "I know you came back to life after you drank Peter's medicine. I've seen the play Peter Pan about a million times," she explained. "Hook poisoned Peter's medicine, and you drank it to save Peter. You were dying. Peter asks children everywhere to clap their hands if they believe in fairies. Everyone claps, of course, and you come back to life. There isn't something like that for people." Pip trailed off. "You mean, can I snap my fingers and say, 'I believe in Peter Pan'?" Belle's wings sagged. She looked forlorn. "Something like that, I guess," Pip sighed. "Peter Pan or Angela Baker and Giorgio Pizzini." Belle flew to Pip's shoulders and spoke quietly in her ear. "Those were their names, right? Your parents' names." Pip felt her hair being stroked by tiny fingers. It sort of tickled. If she hadn't felt so sad, she would have giggled. She took a deep breath instead. "Yes, those were their names. They've been gone a long time now. 5 years. I just didn't know it." "Well, maybe I knew," she said softly, "but I didn't want to believe it." They sat together in silence for a while, a young girl with an old fairy sitting on her shoulder. The hammock swayed gently in a breeze as light as breath, the few remaining dewdrops glistening on the spider webs mirrored the sun, flashing colorful prisms of light. Pip stirred. Well, Belle rose into the air, suddenly all business. "I thought we'd start the day with a swim for you in Mermaid's Lagoon. There aren't any mermaids left, but there's still some soapweed." Pip glowered. "Are you saying I need a bath?" The pixie rolled her eyes. "Besides getting clean, it's an excellent place for flying lessons. Our first priority is to get you into the air. Next you can crow, and then, with the help of your trusty swords, we'll see about clearing the villainy out of the Neverland." Belle gestured higher in the tree with her head. Piper saw that the velour-wrapped swords hung in a tiny hammock of their own. "Okay," she sighed. "Okay to the swim, that is, and maybe to the flying lessons. We'll see after that." Under her breath, she added, "I need to come up with a plan." She stepped from the hammock to a broad limb below, climbing from there to the ground. On the way, she unhooked her backpack from its peg of a broken branch. Thanks, Belle," Pip mumbled without looking at her. "Thanks for all of this." She gestured to the tree. "You found a place for everything. The camp is magical. Plus, you fed me and healed my wounds."
"You're welcome," Belle trilled.
"But," she gave Belle a sharp look, "you still have a lot to answer for as far as I'm concerned." The fairy seemed very busy examining the tree bark.
"If you knew that pirate captured my parents," Pip hurried on, "why didn't you come for me sooner?" Her voice cracked with longing. Embarrassed, she growled. "If you'd come right away, maybe they could have been saved."
Belle answered stiffly, not looking at her.
"There wouldn't have been anything you could have done." Pip thought of the scene she'd witnessed the night before and shuddered. If the pirate had taken her parents straight to Sinkeraz, the fairy was right. An awful thought occurred to her. Maybe Sinkeraz didn't even bother to unwind himself from the Jolly Roger before killing them. Maybe he just turned his head and inhaled while they were still outside our apartment in Seattle.
"No," Belle snapped with a shake of her head. "It's a ritual." She explained, her tone gentling.
"The dragon eats when Captain Little Jack brings food to its lair."
A dark, knotted feeling pressed at Piper's ribcage. Captain Little Jack. The name tasted vile when she said it. She stared in the general direction of Kid's Cove. Her hand gripped an imaginary sword at her waist.
"I can't save my parents," she said, "but I can avenge them. So that's exactly what I'll do."